have, and we have Dare Thompson with us, who's with the, you're still
welcome.
With the League of Women Voters. And
last time
she was redistricting. Hello. Mm-hmm.
She was on the last redistricting committee.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Okay.
It was great.
So we're you called it to order, right? At 6
yes.
o'clock, too. Perfect.
Am I supposed to have a second? I forget.
No, not to call it to order.
Okay. All right.
And then
I guess it would be approved the meeting, the minutes of July 14th.
So
okay.
Second.
Okay, thank you.
Then you have to call for a vote. All in favor.
Oh, all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I proceed?
Yep.
Okay.
You're
so,
awesome.
Looks like the update on the mapping.
Sure.
Vendors.
So we got the contract that was going through the contract office to the top of the pile, and they have it out and approved. It went to the vendor yesterday. We spoke to the vendor today, so they're looking it over. Because usually they have their own contract that they send out that we have to sign, but we have our own contract. So they'll look it over, and suppose it'll expedite it there, and we'll get it back, and then as soon as that processes, we can pay for things.
Okay.
I don't know what the timing of how quickly it will be. I mean, I assume that a lot will be just download, but there'll be some work with getting it onto the server and some testing that goes on as they get it all running.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's moving along.
You ever shoot for like the first week in September for sure, Rob?
I mean, we could shoot for that. I don't know.
Well, why don't we give the committee a deadline? So
okay.
To say that we give ourselves a deadline that we're gonna shoot for the first week in September, barring the vendor giving us a hard time.
Yeah, I don't think the vendor. I think getting on, making sure it works on the server.
Yeah,
we'll have it delivered before the first. I would imagine.
Our next meeting is September 8th, so maybe we can hopefully make that focus on.
Okay. I just had another question. I missed one of the meetings where. I don't remember the month it was. I think it was the June meeting. Now, I know prior to that, there was a discussion about choosing the vendors. Did we settle that already? Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
We picked Caliper?
Yeah, it's Caliper.
Okay.
And so there's going to be one desktop to manage it, and then they'll be online for the commission and the general public to use.
Okay. Okay. And update on town meetings. I think Donna, you
yes.
went, right?
Travis and I went to the combined town and village of New Falls the other night. It went really well. People were very happy that we were there. It was both Zoom and in person, so it was a little hard to, you know, I forgot to look at the people that were, but they really were interested in. One of the things especially was the prison population. That was the big thing that came out. And then we had someone ask about the emergency response time, if we're going to spread things out. And they didn't want crazy subdividing. They want, and their open land with Minnewaska and Mohonk. They didn't know how we were going to count that, and that's really about it. That was their main thing, was crazy subdividing, emergency response, all roadways. I don't know if we went into that more, and also school districts, and voting. I said, well, the voting districts, we don't really have too much to do with, so, but they were very pleased. We were very pleased. I think we were the last ones, and we left about 8:20. That was it. But it went very well. Very well.
I'm not clear on emergency response.
Yeah, I was going to ask about.
Yeah. We're not making those kind of districts.
No.
Right. Okay.
But that was a big thing that they talked about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Sarah and I went to the town of Olive last night.
Oh.
And that was also went really well.
Yeah.
It was pretty quick. We were the first on the agenda, so we didn't have to stay for the whole meeting. Some of their questions were about keeping the towns whole. Since Olive is actually combined with a few other towns, we let them know that probably wouldn't be a problem. They wanted to know about our deadline for completion of the task. One guy wanted to know why the district populations needed to be equal, which I thought we answered satisfactorily. Mm-hmm. And
I think
then
he was a little confused too, that because we had mentioned we were going to keep the towns whole. Mm-hmm. I think he may have misunderstood when it came to other towns,
like joining it with other towns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like for instance, why should Kingston only have one but Olive have one? Which was not what mm-hmm. we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we clarified that Kingston has many more than the town of Olive.
And then they also wanted to know who has to approve our map at the end, so we let them know that we do.
We have Donna and Andy are on August 18th going to Lloyd. The 26th, we haven't kind of finalized. Donna said she would go on the 26th to Rochester, and I wasn't sure if it was going to try to narrow down
yeah,
you
I,
or
I don't
Travis.
Know if Travis is going to want to go. Did you talk to Travis at all?
I asked him, and he said I think it would be good if Regis goes
with him. Oh, really? No, I'm glad to go, too.
You are excellent. Sorry.
Okay. And then September 2nd, the town of Esopus said we could come, but I don't have anybody signed up.
I'm sorry. What was
the
it?
Town of Esopus on September 2nd.
If there's a way of doing it by Zoom come September, I just have a hard time with evenings, but I'm available virtually to do it, and I'm
okay,
happy.
Okay, I can find out.
Yeah, I'm happy to do meetings in September.
I will be away until after September 11th, but I could do it. I mean, that's close to where I live, so I could do it if we postponed.
Okay.
But not
like for another date.
Yeah.
Andy. I'll see when their next meeting is mm-hmm. with that. I've reached out to a couple of other towns and just not gotten things coordinated yet with them, so... I try to work on a couple every day.
All right. We can always just do some sort of email outreach to them too. See if there's some
excellent.
Sort of open dialogue.
Mm-hmm. We did that initially. We said to all of them, yeah, we're here if you want us to come. And so the towns that responded right away, we've gotten to them. So it's just like kind of filling in some of the blanks that maybe like the town of New Paltz actually sort of just missed our email. They get so many.
Sure.
So when I actually, when is it Carol that usually comes? She actually spoke to the supervisor who was like, sure, they can come. And so I called Neil and he was like, you know, that would be great. And it happened to be a night where they were having a joint meeting. So that was even better. Like I reached out to Ellenville and Worthing to see maybe we could do the same thing there. Mm. Or, you know, to kill two birds with
one stone.
Yeah, that'd be good. Does Ellenville and Worthing meet at the same place?
I don't know. I don't even know if they have joint meetings, like New Paltz.
Mm. Yeah, they don't.
Oh, okay. So
New Paltz is in a different location from the town hall. Both in the village, by the way.
Well, yeah, New Paltz has their regular meetings in different places, but they do a joint meeting. Mm-hmm. But so that was just, we got lucky. I hadn't thought about that initially, but.
Right.
All right.
Are we supposed to sign this?
Oh, yeah, we pass that around
okay.
after.
Oh, after.
Oh, no, you can, after you vote on it.
Okay.
Anytime you can.
What was next? Update on prison populations. Is
okay.
that concerning that email that
we
you
did
sent
send
us?
We did send out a letter to the state, that state committee, the letter that you wrote.
Right.
And I haven't heard back anything yet. But
I also followed up with the New York State Independent Redistricting Commission, and the person who's the co-executive chair of that was the co-executive chair of LAT4 last time, and she directed me back to LAT4, which is, they're still doing the adjustment. Their website hasn't been updated since 2012, and she urged me just to keep going back to it, and eventually the data will be there, is what I was told. So she's an insider, I guess I would trust that, but I don't have a date on that yet. That's all I know. Mm-hmm.
Do we have any rough idea about how many, like from 2012, how many people in New York State prisons were originally from Ulster County? Like, is it a lot? Are we talking about them scattered all over the county, so it's only going to be one or two people in any particular?
You're going to lose population more than you're going to gain it.
Right.
Because of the existing prisons in Shangam and Bowarsing. So you're going to lose population.
Those are very centralized populations, though. I imagine the population coming from the state, that's going to be like shotgunned all over the county. I mean, there may
right.
be...
Right, when it comes back, yeah, we'll have zeros in Wawarsing and Shangam, and then we'll have bits and pieces everywhere.
I would suspect what comes back that is not going to affect your... not going to affect how you divide up the various districts. It's what you're going to lose that's going to be, I think, an impact. Because you're going to have those census tracts in Wawarsing and Ellenville and Shangam are probably going to lose in the thousands. Whereas we're going to get back, if they're scattered, you start thinking about the numbers year round. Don't imagine it's going to make a difference in terms of the percentage deviations that you have.
Yeah, I have no idea what the population, prison population is in our county. I'm talking about the Ulster County residents. But do you think that it could be possible that there would be a shrinkage in the number of legislative districts because of this?
That's required under law. You have to have 23. You just
yeah,
have to balance it under a different number. So that's
okay.
Yeah, the districts, okay. The number of districts stays the same. It's the it's how much each legislator
so it's just long division
in that district.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So.
Okay.
Do we have a rough idea what the population of Ulster County?
2,500 is. Oh, of Ulster County?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, well, that's a good segue. Census data comes out tomorrow. But in a very raw form.
All right.
So it'll be the state, and there's this whole process of pulling it into Access and extracting it out. I'll let the demographers do that. The final version comes out at the end of September. But I know Caliper will be taking that data tomorrow and taking it out and putting it into their software. I used to do that too, I think, back in the day.
We're actually having a nice betting pool. Not that we're supposed to do those things.
What do you come down on, Dennis?
I think we're going to be relatively unchanged. The census population estimates had us down about 4,000 people, 3,000 people. I think we're going to be relatively unchanged, and I'm really hoping that that's the case. Our biggest concern, quite frankly, is the urbanized area in the city of Kingston, which is. City of Kingston urbanized area actually extends up into Greene County and as far down as Rosendale, and we get to a population of around 57,000, and a lot of our your funding and data that comes out is based on a population of 50,000. I get about $400,000 a year in federal money based on that population. I don't want it to drop below 50,000. Or I'm going to be scrambling with the legislative folks to essentially redefine what constitutes an urbanized area.
We could work out some kind of deal.
Yeah. there's a number of funding formulas that are based on census urbanized areas, and you don't want to lose it. And just to tell you how crazy this works, there's something called an MS4, which is municipal stormwater separation data that provides stormwater regulations, and that's dependent upon a centralized area of 50,000 or more. So a whole regulatory structure could go away if we drop below 50,000 people in the urbanized area. The census folks have already decided to redefine what constitutes urbanized areas as more than 100,000. They went from 50,000 to 100,000.
It's in the Federal Register.
Mm. So that's a census definition. But the Office of Management and Budget, which controls some
Thank
of the
you.
How funding flows, has said that they're going to keep the 50,000. This gets complicated quick, and there's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be concerned when these numbers come out.
Yeah. That seems like on us, but it's
whenever.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you get the percent difference that can be between legislative districts in
basically,
the population? Is it 5 or 10%?
It's 10% total between the two, but it's plus minus 5 is the way to go.
Okay.
So last time we had plus, we actually had plus five, and last time we had one minus five, so.
I saw that.
The good news is you have an attorney in the room, so she can advise you that you're supposed to strive for the least deviation
yes,
possible.
Yes, zero. Yes.
You have two attorneys.
I was just going to say that.
Thank you.
But since I have called out, did you want any information from us about the prison population?
Any insights you have?
Mentioned.
Yeah.
Only that the local residents are counted here. But it sounds like you already knew that, the way everyone
yeah.
was talking. That you know, anyone in prison is counted their home county or their home residence.
Right.
And everything that entails. The prison corrections are supposed to report to the legislative task force on demographic research and reapportionment. It was by September of last year, so it's already in the numbers. But you're counted in your home.
Before I come here, I was reading that law, which is about 2010, 2011
yes.
or whatever, and it looks like they could do that. I mean, the way in which that information is presented, you know, certainly it's DOCS is responsible for that,
mm-hmm.
but they said in a form that's requested by the task force.
Mm-hmm.
So, if the task force didn't request it, they get what they get, or vice versa.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's a quick turnaround, because they already have the prison numbers. All I have to do is get the numbers, pull them out, and they know where they are. So
I would imagine with that kind of database, they'd be able to do a sort by zip,
whatever,
you know.
Or whatever they have, you know.
It's going to come down by census tract, though, right, Rob?
Block.
Oh, census block. I'm sorry, you're right.
Census block.
Yeah, not tract. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah, prison.
And I said you're going to be really surprised when you see what these census blocks, that was the biggest surprise to me, is what a block actually looked like. Because one block might have two people in it, and the block right next door might have 200. And they didn't really seem to follow a lot of rhyme or reason sometimes. But
you'll see a little block. In the prison ones are, you know, like they'll have 1,000, 1,100 people.
I think, if I may, I think that the challenge here is actually when you're defining districts, the challenge is making sure that people can recognize the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always the tough one to do. And then the decision that, I think one of the reasons people start talking about roads and stuff like that is that if you really want to have a neighborhood, you can get up in arms, just split the neighborhoods on one side of a subdivision from the other side of the subdivision. They all used to ride together to the poles, and all of a sudden they have to go to different locations. And those are the ones that become somewhat difficult, because that's the physical feature that everybody recognizes. Then when you start looking for other physical features so you can combine them, you got to go such a long ways to find a stream or find something else that's a physical feature that defines it becomes complicated.
I remember Watchtower gave us headaches last time because that's 1,000 people on the block, and that's not.
Yeah, Brian Cahill gave me a photo, sort of an aerial photo of the streets that are divided exactly as you described. He said,
yeah.
He said, please don't do that.
Yeah. You try not to, but sometimes it's.
At some point, you just have to cut them
it's
up
a given.
Too, right?
Yeah,
right.
I mean, big divisions like the Shokan Reservoir. I know the last board spent a lot of time making sure that they didn't make people on opposite sides of the reservoir, for example, in the same election district, or opposite sides of the mountain range, so that somebody could, you know, get to their voting place without leaving the county. Mm-hmm. You know, I know they spent a lot of attention to those kind of details.
Hopefully the mountain towns are mostly all in our, at least currently, they're all in the same district, so hopefully that won't be too much of a problem going
down
forward.
By Ellenville and Shangham, though, the okay. that mountain range down there became
gotcha.
Shangham one, yeah, and then
Craigsmore.
Parts of Denning and Hardenburg, you have to go out of county in order to get there.
But they'll probably all be in one big district again,
right.
I would guess.
And some concern is we didn't have a lot of success counting. You know, we looked at census response rates for the census, and the census response rates in the mountain towns were
were abysmal, primarily for a lot of different reasons. One is that the census takers couldn't get out because of COVID. Two is the census kits that they dropped off didn't explain what you were supposed to do if you were an absentee owner. You know, so if you lived in the city and you had a special workaround in answering the survey questions to actually answer the survey questions. And then three is no one knew what to do with the absentee owners or with the second homeowners or where they were going to report. Because a lot of them, which is why I'm hoping that we maintain our population, I think a lot of them, even though it was in April when they were supposed to report, I think a lot of them are going to, they're supposed to report where their primary residence is, but I think a lot of them are going to read the survey question and say, because it asked, where do you live now? And they may.
We're
having this.
We're having a discussion, but it's like I'm pretty sure the question is, where is your primary residence on April 1st, 2000?
Yeah, so we may see different answers, and the second home ownership gives us, you know, Rochester and Shandaken and Woodstock and all those areas gives us some fits to, in terms of what to expect. The same thing with the group quarters population, and particularly in New Paltz, because they all left. They were gone when the census, you know, so they weren't here to fill it out. So they were being sort of filled out in absentia by some of the colleges. Was it the provost or the registrar, I guess, was being asked to help on that issue, because they were supposed to be there, but they were actually home at the time.
We actually did have a question in Town of Olive last night about the April 1st cutoff. Because people at the meeting had moved post that, and how would they be counted? Even though the census was extended, what does that mean?
So they would continue to be counted. They extended the ability to respond to the census to the end of September, as I recall. Don't quote me on that. There was some discussion whether they're going to extend it through October. I think they ended up at the end of September. You could still fill out the form.
But it was still asking where you were April 1st, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then it went back to that. But, I mean, you could still fill out the form. Because we were doing census outreach efforts right on through till the end of August, early September.
I guess we will see shortly what came of all of it.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, it is possible that within a single district that we'll be drawing, that there will be multiple voting locations. Is that correct?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So even if there's a district that has some wonkiness or something dividing the two, another commission will be responsible for figuring out where everyone's voting.
The Board of Elections.
Yeah.
The Board of Elections will make election districts within each town. And they, according to whatever, you know, that they're already looking at, you know, different boundaries anyway, but they have to make, they'll make election districts within that town, even if you chop the town up.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like New Paltz is chopped up. Mm-hmm. There's two legislative districts in New Paltz. And there's and part of New Paltz goes into Esopus.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
So
last time they were here a lot. I mean, they're constrained by whatever district this commission comes up with. They have to make their maps on. But there were times where they asked us, "Don't break up this. This is an inefficiency with our. So that would require us to move the voting district over there." But
they run into polling place problems and other kinds of things.
Well,
so they,
for me to vote in New Paltz, I drive by every other polling place before I get to my polling place.
Yeah.
New Paltz. Mm-hmm. I drive past every other one. Of course, it's only New Paltz. It's not like I'm driving 50 miles, but
we can overlay the current election districts on your proposed districts.
Yes.
Because if we don't do it, they'll do it for us.
No, we had it all the time. It was a common layer that was shown.
Okay, any new business? Old business regarding, we were talking about choosing a permanent chair and vice chair for the committee when this first started. Have we decided to do that?
I think so.
You had an opinion about it the first time around.
I do, but I changed my mind,
Okay. So you can continue to rotate. You may want to pick a permanent chair and vice chair. And so you could decide that tonight, or you could, you know, think about it for the next meeting. But just, you have to, either between this meeting or the next, by, you know, the start of the next meeting, you would have to make a decision if you don't make it tonight. Mm-hmm. So,
do you have any thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that we did rotate so that everyone had a chance to see how they liked it and how they...
Right.
Mm-hmm. How each meeting went. I think each mm-hmm. one sort of had its own character.
Mm-hmm.
I feel pretty neutral now about whether we continue that way or if we appoint permanent chair and co-chair. So I'd be happy either way.
Anyone?
I still feel like having a permanent role would be helpful as a central point of, mm-hmm. of contact.
I kind of agree.
Since so much of the outreach and also the responses come through one inbox, it would be good to have it go mm-hmm. To a central person. And then we can discuss it as a commission, of course, but personally, I think that makes things a little bit more efficient. And also, if people have to miss meetings, I think it's easier to discuss,
right.
Even if the chair has to miss a meeting, mm-hmm. that we have, like, we know those people are chairing rather than, I have to miss the next meeting, but I'm up for it in the rotation, so.
I'm siding with Sarah.
I'm wondering if we should, this is just, wait till the next meeting if, so everyone will be here? Maybe everyone will be here.
Well, it would be nice if everybody could be here. I don't, like I say, if you push it off, that would be the first item of business next month.
Okay. Well, so what do you think? What about you guys? So at least we know what to present for next meeting when the other two, are you neutral or maybe what service?
I feel like Andy.
Okay.
I think it was good, like you said, that everybody had the chance, mm-hmm. but yet I can see the importance of having a permanent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of...
Especially when it starts getting busier, I think.
I think
that you should have a central mm-hmm. person. I mean, it's easy to say that now because...
Yes,
you know,
right.
Kind of.
Yeah, I like.
What do you
the,
think?
Yeah, Sarah, you had recommended permanent chair our very first meeting,
right.
Of course, and I
mm-hmm.
felt at the time we don't know each other, know? and that the rotation would be worthwhile, and I felt that the rotation was
worthwhile.
I also
mm-hmm.
liked Sarah's idea
mm-hmm.
of having a permanent chair to lend stability to the commission.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess we can bring it up next meeting and decide, since...
Sure.
That's fine.
Right.
Okay.
Is it okay for us to wait for the next meeting to do it first order of business?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right. Absolutely.
Cool.
That's not a problem.
So that would be Chair DiStefano would
start it. You'll get to start. Like I say, but we've always have a rotating vice chair, you know, so
okay.
we've always had, we've rotated that position too.
So it's basically just we're looking for a permanent chair.
So you have to decide, first of all, if you're going to continue to rotate or if you're going to have a permanent chair. That's
okay.
The first decision. And if you're going to have a permanent chair, then you have to pick one.
Okay.
So the first decision will be to continue to rotate or pick a permanent chair.
Okay.
Which was what your assignment sort of was at the very first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That,
right.
And you didn't know anything about
mm-hmm.
each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then if your choice is to continue rotating, we'll just continue rotating. If your choice is to pick a permanent chair, then we would do that.
Okay.
I think that if an email came from you, Fawn, to say that we certainly had a quorum here this evening, but we would like to hear everybody's voice on whether to continue with rotating chairs or a permanent chair, and depending on, you know, how that shakes out, and they could wait till next
mm-hmm.
Month to do that.
Yeah, you can't have a discussion about it.
No,
we could just introduce it so everybody knows that's going to be the first topic of discussion
first
at the next
topic
meeting.
But I mean,
and those
the
are the
one
choices.
Two, just as
yeah.
you just as you described it. So yeah, good.
So everybody can
sure
can think about that.
Right.
All right.
And the Zoom meeting.
And Zoom meetings.
Was that the, when I was driving, I got an email from you.
Yeah.
Before I saw Zoom.
Yeah,
so
I would say there's some issues about doing this via Zoom.
Okay.
But So I'm going to try to explain this really well because I know my boss is going to listen to what I tell you. We've explained this dozens of times, and I'm hoping I'm doing it right. But as I understand it, the issue with open meetings law, now that we don't have a state of emergency, is that all of you, all the members, need to be in a public place. Now, that doesn't have to be with you all in the same room. But if you decide to Zoom in, we have to list wherever you are, and that's a public, becomes, and it has to be a place the public can access, and that becomes a public place. If that's your home, then you have to open up your home to anybody who wants to come there to join the meeting. And we have to put it out in our weekly notice ahead of time. I brought this as an example of what we do for the legislators. So a couple of things. If you decide that night that you're not going to, that you're, we didn't notice your home address in the notice, and you decided, you can't decide at the last minute you're going to join us via Zoom. You'd have to come to one of those physical locations. And you also, if you decide to come to the physical meeting, you still have to leave your home available to the public to attend. Mm-hmm. So just be aware of that. What we do for the legislature, and I just want you to know, this is from 2019, before COVID. We let the legislators Skype into our meetings, but we put where they are. At this particular meeting, I'll pass it around, we had three legislators in three different locations, two in Florida and one in Texas. So you'll see that in addition to having the meeting in the legislative chambers, we're also having a meeting in Venice, Florida, and someplace in Texas, and generally, the public doesn't go to those meetings. There's nobody in Texas that really wants to come to our meetings. So it hasn't been an issue. But I suspect if we posted, an address in Gardner or address in Woodstock or and somebody in that area wanted to attend the meeting, they might show up at your house. That's just how that would work for you to be in a Zoom meeting. One of the other issues we have with some of our other subcommittees is staffing it, but that you have staff, so that's not an issue. But just be aware, if we're going to do a Zoom meeting, if you're going to come via Zoom, that that all of you need to be in a public location.
This may be an issue for me later on in the winter. I'm thinking maybe from November to December-ish. I'm
getting
in Florida.
Going to be in Florida.
Because I'll be out of state.
Ah.
So with that, that comes under where I'd give you the address of where I am in Florida.
I think we could make that work. We'd have to list whatever that address is. And it has to be a place the public can go. It can't be like you're in a hotel and the public doesn't have access to, it would have to be in the lobby of the hotel or maybe a room, meeting room in the hotel.
No, it's my home, okay. I don't know if anyone's going to fly to Florida.
I don't know, I might join you.
or there might be other people in Florida who just, are like, wow, there's a meeting we could go to. At one point we had a legislator on a cruise, and we realized we can't do that. Because the public wouldn't have access to this cruise ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. It has to be a place the public has access to. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind. That's why we have not been offering Zoom meetings. The legislature, for their standing committees, has voted not to allow Zoom. Mm-hmm. They still allow legislators to Skype in to the meetings or Zoom, however they're getting into it. They can do it twice a year, but not consecutive months. So they couldn't do it like in January and February. They'd have to do it maybe January and March. But those are the legislative rules.
So I was going to ask, are those rules apply to us as well? And how do we go about enacting this for our commission?
If you just need to give me your address so that we can post it, or wherever you're going to be ahead of time, so we can...
Okay, so default, we can do it so long as we tell you ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And well, it has to be a place where the public can go, but it doesn't have to be your house. It could, as you said, be like a hotel lobby or something if you didn't want to share your address, or I guess in a coffee shop, but probably not.
On the beach. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
That would be nice.
We're actually
the Recycling Oversight Committee is going to meet at the Ulster Park down by the river. So that, because they had a member that just didn't, I mean, we could hold your meeting someplace else. We could hold your meetings on the beach someplace. Right. Maybe Kingston Beach.
I'm not sure how helpful that will be in December.
December, right.
Here in Ulster County, right. But it does sound like it may be something that this commission will utilize at some point, because we're already seeing members who don't want to be indoors, understandably.
Well, that's why I mentioned the Zoom. That's right. Mr. Tanz's email.
Oh, Kristen, I'm sorry, go ahead. Something.
Sorry.
Yes, only the mention of a coffee shop, but we've been looking into this in our office to advise as well. And the Committee on Open Government, in one of their opinions, does mention issues with a restaurant type venue where someone, a person from the public, may feel like then they have to pay. Mm-hmm. Anywhere that, I mean, if there's a coffee shop that normally welcomes people without having to buy something, different.
So more like a hotel conference room, potentially.
Yes. Yeah. Just keep yourself aware
that, makes sense.
That they shouldn't have to feel like they need to buy something.
Okay.
And as a second follow-up question, is it possible to, let's say something came up and I can't make it physically to the meeting, but I still want to like listen to it, can I attend unofficially and just not participate or vote?
That's sort of like the sticking point. My understanding is we wouldn't probably stop you from coming in, but you certainly couldn't vote, and you certainly probably shouldn't. The participating part is the is the question.
Mm-hmm. So but no, not really.
That's one of the big fears about starting to do this. My hope is that the legislature will change the open meetings laws to accommodate this new world, and this new participation is easy. When those laws were written, no one, I don't think, ever envisioned Zoom.
Right.
And how easy it is for the public to access it. That we could still have a public location, like I could physically be here, and the public could come in, and you guys could all be at home, I don't think they ever envisioned that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think things will evolve to that eventually. Okay. The Legislative Laws and Rules Committee feels it's very important for people to physically be in the room together.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that they're not going to allow, they at this point are not even considering continuing with Zoom.
Some of the guidance we've seen out of open meetings have been that they'll allow Zoom members to Zoom in, but there has to be a quorum present and in a public place.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a quorum present by Zoom.
Okay.
So that's some of the guidance we've seen, but I haven't confirmed that yet. But
and I haven't seen that yet.
We're having that discussion right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I asked the question knowing that it was like, can we stretch the rules in the following way? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it seem like they're moving in that direction of making it more acceptable? Or
I know
on the state level?
I know there are as many questions as we've had about it. I can only imagine. And we've had long conversations with folks at the on the Committee on Open Government. We've had long our clerks have had like long conversations with them and with everybody else that is subject to open meetings.
Some of the concerns here is you can imagine that a board, if it wanted to avoid a significant public controversial public issue, would decide that they were going to meet by Zoom that month, and the public would be looking around and at a bunch of faces on a television and not being able to confront the board as
absolutely
a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So you can think of why they would do it, and the power of public participation and public persuasion as to why they want to allow that to happen.
I think particularly though, it seems like we may have at least one commission member who may going forward never feel comfortable coming to one of our meetings.
That's really why I brought that up.
Then
today.
do we just operate as a commission of six? I mean, I don't know if that.
And if he, I mean, I think he has a lot to add. So I hope we can get something that works for him. But the reality is, if he can't participate because of this, there, you know, we can go back to the list. I would hope he would stay and participate, because I think he has a tremendous amount to add. But by the same token, you know, if one of you suddenly decides this is, you know, that you can't come to the meetings and you can't do this anymore, we have a mechanism to replace members. Mm-hmm. So we'll hope it doesn't come to that. Where I know we're trying to find a solution rather than
Go into that. It does sort of sound like there is somewhat of a solution for us, so long as it's done it far ahead of time, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. My experience has been, though, that generally people who are uncomfortable coming here for a public meeting aren't really going to be open to inviting the public into their home.
Yeah,
sure.
But we have
potentially out on the green in Woodstock or something.
We have. It's sort of like we have a couple people. He's not the only person that has an issue. I have other committees with people that have an issue, mm-hmm. and we're struggling to get a quorum together. One of the reasons we're meeting at the park this time to try to work through some of those issues. But we all got very comfortable with Zoom, so you know, right. Kind of hate to drop it. It's funny. I was on an open space committee in New Paltz at one point in time, and we were going to evaluate a piece of property to see how much we were going to pay for the developmental rights for this property. And we were hiring somebody to do an assessment. And I had made a motion that we let our chairman negotiate up to a certain price. And they said, no, we'll just find out what the price is and we'll approve it. And I was like, but we want to have this assessment before the next meeting. When are we going to approve it if we don't do it now? And they were like, don't worry about it. And I was the new kid, so I didn't say anything. And about a week later, I get an email. This is the price. Is that okay with everybody? And I was like, it's going to be okay with everybody. But we can't take a vote
by email.
We got to meet somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it can be just 2 minutes. We're all going to say okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to get a quorum in a room together to vote on this. And I was talking to, I sent my answer to the chairman and the town attorney, who confirmed what I was saying. And what the attorney and I had a casual conversation later, and he says, all those pesky laws are for bad people doing bad things. They're not for good people doing good things. We're all good people trying to do the right thing. But you have to, like Dennis was saying, you know, you need to think, how could a bad person misuse this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, because I know you're all good people trying to do good things. But we also want to be safe. So.
On the topic of public participation, just one of the things you may want to think about is an agenda item that is reoccurring that has a public participation, so that every meeting starts off with public participation so public comment can be made at your meetings. They're not just, because if your agenda item doesn't provide it, then if I want to make a comment for the general public, then effectively I can't. But if you have it on your agenda, then you can call for public comments, and it's just a good thing to do. It gives the public a sense when they look at your agenda that if they show up, they can actually say something.
Okay.
And it also gives them the time period when they can speak, and then
so they don't interrupt your meeting.
And then they don't interrupt.
Like I'm doing now.
We haven't put it on the agenda formally, but we have most of our, at least the Zoom meetings, called, asked for if anyone on the call had public comments. So.
For me, it's an agenda item. It comes up as an agenda item.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the legislature does that as well.
We actually have two public comments now. We have one at the beginning for items that we're going to be talking about that night, mm-hmm. and then we have one at the end for anything they want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Which is tricky. We just started doing it that way, so that's become tricky.
Does anyone have a feeling whether it should be at the beginning or the end?
Public comments?
Yes.
Oh. I like the beginning and the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we do it in the town that I live in. Mm-hmm. And so it's, does anyone have the agenda's published ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And does anyone have any comments on the agenda? Would you like to add, or is something unclear about the way the agenda is written?
Mm-hmm.
And people will get up and say something. And at the end, it's whatever you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Now, it's time limited, 3 minutes, but that's it. So I think both are
really good opportunities. Mm-hmm. There are different reasons.
You'd want comments in the beginning if you're going to be making a decision about something, so the public can weigh in, and you know what that person is thinking before you're making your decisions.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the advantages of having a speaker at the beginning, having a speaker, you know, but sitting through public comment about something you're not going to be discussing, if you may have to leave early, right. Doesn't make sense.
Right.
So we may want to have, you know, public comment about agenda items at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, I think both are really helpful.
Okay. If that's all right, I'll put that on the next.
Yes, great. Absolutely. Absolutely. Rotating chairs.
And,
at least one time.
I messed up the Zoom the last time, so I don't know if anyone remembers my glorious
chairing. I don't recall.
I don't remember.
I think it's been a learning experience for, you know, everybody. If you haven't chaired a lot of meetings, we have legislators who've been here for years, and some run a really tight ship, and as Dennis can tell you, some can turn a 10-minute meeting into 2 hours.
I can think of one.
Okay, and Ms. Thompson, maybe you might.
Oh, she left.
Oh, she left.
Yeah, she there left us.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask her if she had anything.
Any public comment.
Right. Any public comment. Any public comment? For anyone? No? Okay. Well, then I move to adjourn.
Or you can call for a motion.
Call for a motion to adjourn. Is that so?
And so I have Donna and Regis seconding.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We are here.